Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's message was given by First Pres Interim Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Tassie Green. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 through 29, which you will find in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles on page 120 or on the screen. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Lord Jesus, your word tells us you were the descendant of Tamar, a Canaanite Rahab, an Amorite Ruth, a Moabite. You challenged cultural barriers to bring living water to the Samaritan woman. And you, Lord Jesus, sent Philip to bless the Ethiopian eunuch. Help each of us to love our neighbors of every nation, tribe, and tongue. Help each of us to see, hear, and understand what it means to bless in living color by carefully listening to all we encounter. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. When severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, Philip went to Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Many believed the good news. The scripture from Acts 8, starting in verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of the entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to his chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up and out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may remember that our series is called Colorful Connections, Bless. There are five simple practices that Jesus modeled, Jesus taught, of how we can connect with others. Last week was begin with prayer. Today is Listen with Care. Should I wear these the whole sermon? And as we think about it, I'm reminded that there are so many great volunteers in this church, including a whole group who did rebuilding together yesterday. I'm told that some of you may be moving a little more slowly yesterday because you're of your work at Boys Hope, Girls Hope. If anyone was in that group today, wave your hand. I won't even make you get up and down because that's rough when you're sore. Thank you so much. You're getting a head start on the S's of our bless, which is serve in love, so thank you. And in fact, we have so many volunteers from Sunday nursery to Sunday school and on through the whole sanctuary, through the whole church, those who serve. That next week, along with our international potluck, is Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. So please come and get an ice cream treat as part of that potluck. And let us express our thanks to all the many ways you serve the family of faith, the children of the church, the students, and the community. But when was the last time that someone truly listened to you, and not in a look-at-me way with my big ears on? When was the last time you felt really heard? Think about it. Unfortunately, it may be more rare these days. Really great listeners stand out because we don't have it so often. Conversational narcissism is the norm, it seems. Some of you can right away think of the person who's like that. That old joke, enough about me, tell me about you. What do you think about me? Right? That's what we experience sometimes. We're all guilty of it. What does conversational narcissism sound like? So I'm gonna have Crofton and Ben as my helpers here model what some of this looks like.
I'm feeling really starved today, man.
Man, I just ate.
Ooh, that's rough. Not a lot of sympathy there. Do you see what Ben did? He just turned it right around to himself. In one sentence, he shifted the attention to himself. In the pursuit of attention, Charles calls this a shift response. When we do it all the time, we do it all the time. We answer someone's statement with our own experience. Give me another example.
I packed my own lunch every day, and it was Twinkies and chips.
Oh, that's crazy. My mom never made me a lunch I wanted to eat, so I traded it.
See, once again, stopping a real conversation because we're just talking about ourselves. We'll get you guys to help us again later. Thank you. I hope we can recognize that this is not how we want to be treated. It's not how we bless others. Instead, we want to be people who listen with care. I was looking at stats from Barna, who is a research group, a Christian research group, on characteristics non-Christians look for in Christians when they have a conversation. And I'll put it in a e-news, but I just wanted to highlight. So they surveyed teens and adults of no faith, 450, and they asked them to pick what characteristics matter most to them. They could select all that apply. Imagine a Christian you would be interested in learning from. Which of the following characteristics would you prefer? And the highest, 40%, said, listens without judgment, is honest about their doubts, was 33%, doesn't force a conclusion but listens to me, 30% cares about me as a person, 29% allows others to draw their own conclusions, 26% said others understands me or allows others, is interested even though I'm not a Christian. And it goes through all the way to 20% said again, demonstrates interest in other people's story. So most of these things that they chose out of a whole list had to do with listening, understanding, being honest. If you think about it, It's something that is difficult for us to do, and that's why it stands out. Oftentimes, as we listen to someone else, we're planning what we're going to say in response. And sometimes we're thinking about the story or the joke or the I can top that sort of thing. Now, if you've been to the wildly popular Hamilton musical, Aaron Burr sings, "Talk less, smile more. Talk less, listen more." It didn't work out so well for Hamilton, but it's good advice. And God doesn't call us to bless the world only by blessing people like us, by listening to those who are easy for us to understand. No, God wants us to be a good listener. Remember the words of the Lord to Abraham in Genesis 12? I will bless you, and all nations will be blessed through you. We are blessed to be a blessing to all nations, to all ethnicities, to all people. God's dream is that we would not only bless people who are like us, but we would bless through our colorful connections, reaching out to those who are different than us, whether because of race or culture or ethnicity or gender or age, ability, you name it. The first way we can do this is beginning with prayer, and today we're talking about listening with care across all boundaries of difference. We're looking at a story in the book of Acts where the apostle Philip did that. Because disciple making is something we do in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who's already at work drawing people to God. Let's look again at the passage. The angel of the Lord told Philip to get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And even though that was kind of an odd command, Philip's ears were open, attentive to God's call. He was obedient to the voice of God. And then he saw the chariot and he heard the Spirit say, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And again, he obeyed. He even ran up to it and found out the Holy Spirit was already in conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit called Philip to lead him to Jesus to that day. Pastor and Professor Daryl Johnson writes, "The Holy Spirit is having a conversation with every person in this world. Evangelism is when we are invited into that conversation, either by the person or by the Holy Spirit." It's kind of a different way to look at it. To be aware that Jesus, that the Spirit, might be inviting us in. The good thing is that this invitation takes the pressure off of us. We are joining God in God's work, not trying to convince someone by our own skill or effective persuasion. So, point one is listen. How do we listen? In this case, in this passage, Philip ran over to the chariot. Did he jump in immediately with his own evangelistic agenda? Did he have the four spiritual laws, the bridge illustration in his pocket? No, he listened to what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, to what was going on. And he didn't interrupt him with a prepared speech. He listened, and then he responded by asking, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian was hungry for answers. And he invited Philip, "Please come and sit with me." And Philip did. Now remember our conversation earlier? Twice they shifted the attention from one to the other. It was what was called a shift response. But the opposite of that is a support response. A support response invites and encourages the speaker to go deeper into what they're already talking about. That's what Philip did. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Here's how Ben and Crofton could have given some support responses. Can you model it for us?
"Man, I'm feeling really starved."
"When was last time you ate?"
"My mom used to pack me a Lunchables every day."
"Lunchables, those are cool. Hey, do you want to go get some?"
"Sounds great, yeah."
Thanks, guys. And they're available for you to take out to lunch someday if you want. In any case, it's not that hard to pay attention and to meet people where they are. But it's increasingly rare in our divided country. But this week, when someone tells you something, I invite you to practice responding with supportive responses. It's one way to listen with care. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is well known for his time in our Book of Confessions, he helped write the Barman Declaration and also in his statements against the German democratic Christians. He said, "Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking when they should be listening." He says, "But he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer be listening to God either. He'll be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God." That's from Life Together. Like Philip, we can bless others by decentering ourselves, by listening more than we speak. And rather than waiting for our chance to jump into the conversation with our wisdom, or maybe just our opinions, if we don't have wisdom, let us bless others by elevating our conversation companion above ourselves and thinking about what can we learn from them? How can we encourage them? Truly listening to what's going on in their hearts and minds. When we do this, people feel deeply loved. The conversation is more likely to make an impression on them. I was speaking with a young mom for a baptism class to prepare the parents to have their baby baptized. And she told me, "I'm not into gathering Christianity right now. I'm into inclusive individual faith." Now, those were a lot of words to unpack. What did they mean to her? And as I listened, I started to think maybe she was telling me, "I don't really like church people right now. I don't like the way they treat me. I don't like the way they treat one another. It stinks. So I've cut that part out of my schedule." But maybe she was also saying, "I wasn't plugged in enough for anyone to care about me or to miss me or to reach out. And I don't miss church enough to try again." It's woundedness. It comes through often as we talk to people in our social circles or in the next generation. And as we listen to them, we might even help them move past some of the obstacles to try again to talk about faith with us. So we listen through colorful connections. What does it mean? Well, according to Michelle Sanchez, who wrote the curriculum this is based on, she'll come and be our speaker in June with her book. Her book is called Courageous Discipleship. It means resisting the temptation to be colorblind and to notice who each person is as a unique being. What makes them the person they are? Noticing these things will help us listen better and communicate. It will help us hear what they're saying. So here's some questions to ask ourselves, to observe, or to ask. This might be surprising, it might be obvious. Just what's their gender? What's their ethnic background and nationality? What's their religious background? How old are they? How do they dress? What's their level of education? Their job? How wealthy or poor are they? Are they differently abled? What are their hobbies? What's their family history? What experiences have shaped them? And to try to learn from them how they want to be described and known versus making our own assumptions. Now, presumably, it was Philip who told Luke, who was the one who wrote the book of Acts, all about the Ethiopian eunuch. And actually, if you look closer into scripture, there is a wealth of detail there. And in some scriptures, it's like way more than we hear about other people. So let's look at it for a minute. What did Philip learn in his conversations? He learned that the man was Ethiopian, a black African, one of the first non-Jews to come to faith in Jesus. That's how it's reported in scripture. What we know is what was known as Ethiopia then is now southern Egypt or northern Sudan. This man was wealthy, high-ranking. He had servants attending him. He had a chariot. He was in charge of the treasury for the Queen Mother of Ethiopia. That's a big deal. He was highly educated. He could read the Hebrew scriptures in Hebrew. He was a castrated man because it was common in the Near East for men who'd been castrated to serve in positions of state. That was a long list of things to understand and observe in the course of a conversation. Philip obeyed the Holy Spirit. He didn't focus on the differences. He continued his quest to bless by listening with care. So the third point is to ask questions. Verse 30 says, Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And like he heard this, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, he does not open his mouth. And he knew enough to recognize it as Isaiah 53. As it turns out, that's what the eunuch was reading, and Philip knew that it was a prophecy about Jesus, the suffering servant. And so he asked, do you understand what you are reading? That's a pretty good opener. Now, some might say, well, it's kind of presumptuous to think that they might not understand and you do. Let's assume that the man was struggling with it. Philip listens with care. He begins the conversation. Do you understand? And then he listens, and the man responds, how can I unless someone guides me? Who is the prophet talking about? We read that Philip began with that passage of scripture and continued on to make the connection, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in this story, we see a great example of a colorful connection across vast differences. Philip doesn't start with a prepared speech. He doesn't have an agenda. He starts with a question, and then he meets the man's need. Of course, Jesus was known for both telling great stories and asking great questions. In the four Gospels, Jesus asks at least 330 questions, and he was asked about 170. He didn't even answer all the questions, but he asked so many. As a son of God, he didn't ask those questions because he needed to know the answers. He did it out of love, as a way to connect, to see what mattered most to someone. He cared. He majored on questions because questions have the power to build relationship. And when we ask thoughtful questions, we show humility that we don't know it all. We show gentleness. We show willingness to grow through our connection. We demonstrate an understanding that the other person's story matters to them, to us, and to God. We gain insight. Just the way Jesus longs for us to engage with others and with their needs. When we say, tell me more, and when we listen, it's like putting on our great big ears. Tell me more. They're almost three magic words that help turn a conversation in another direction. We discover clues of where God is already at work, where we feel God's nudge and we can join God. Esau McCulley, who's an Anglican pastor, he's on the staff of Wheaton College, he wrote a book called Reading While Black. He said, this eunuch was thought of as a despised thing. He found hope in hearing about the Messiah who was shamed and whose resurrection lifts those with imposed indignities to places of honor. It was good news that Philip listened to the Spirit and listened to the man and then joined God in what God was already doing, what God wanted this man to hear from his heart. He proclaimed the good news that Jesus died on the cross and was raised again on the third day. He proclaimed that Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering and the punishment and brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. He proclaimed that it was good news that mattered to the eunuch as well. And it's true for each of us today, too. It's good news. No wonder the eunuch responded. He gave his life to Jesus, and he wanted to get baptized right away. Now, had Philip studied the Ethiopian culture before this? Probably not. especially because it was a snap encounter on the road. But he had the humble attitude of a learner, of a cultural learner, and he observed. I find sometimes we hold back from conversations about Jesus with people of other cultures and backgrounds because we have a fear of getting things wrong. But the call to go and make disciples of all nations is for us, and Jesus promises that he'll be with us by the Holy Spirit and guiding us. And it's much easier when our goal is to begin with prayer and listen with care and to start there. That's not so intimidating. We start where we are, and we can be like Philip, taking the posture of a learner, and then we can follow the Spirit's promptings. Even though we're not an expert, we can point people to Jesus because we're joining God in God's mission. God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us into the world and promises power. I love this biblical story of listening with care because the colorful connection ends in joy, with baptism. Philip listened, and the result was a miracle of new life in Christ. Philip listened, and the result was that they got to rejoicing together. God wants each of us to experience that joy with one another, the joy of connection. The Spirit who spoke to Philip is the same Spirit who promises to guide us and awakens in us the reality that making disciples means making an effort to reach every type of person, all different ages, ethnicities, classes, abilities, cultures, even every person who seems most different, farthest from us, and also those who are physically at the farthest margins of the world. And I really appreciate it about this church that you are tuned in, making connections globally with what's happening and how there are folks working all over the world to share Christ. So like Philip and with Jesus, let's listen with care as we make colorful connections. I have some invitations for you today. Do any of you relate to the Ethiopian man in the passage in any way? Do you have questions about the Bible or Jesus or the Christian faith? People in this church are here for you. There are opportunities to learn, to ask questions. We promise to listen with care. Feel free to make an appointment with me or with others in the church to listen. And for those of you who are interested in being a listener, ask the Spirit to open doors for conversations, especially with people who are very different from you, who have the courage to and you will have the courage to obey the voice of Jesus. Listen with care, point them to Jesus, the one who brings new life. And so let us listen with care. And let me now lead us in a prayer. God, we continue to pray for those who were on our list last week as we made lists of people that you might be in the process of reaching out to, people that don't know you yet. We continue to pray for those names, and we pray for your prompting as we go about our days, that we would come to know you more, that others would come to know you more. Your great big, no matter what love that draws each of us. Amen.